Everyone, and welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada. And this is a cross-cultural and interdisciplinary talk show where people from different cultures, backgrounds, and fields come together to exchange ideas, experiences, and perspectives. Through these conversations, we explore how culture shapes the way we see the world, communicate with others, and make choices in our lives. And as always, before we jump into today's conversation, let's kick off the show with a little taste of Chinese food culture. So I'll let our guest to introduce today's Chinese food that we wanted to show you, which is Mapo Tofu. Here we go.
Let's go. China has an incredibly diverse food culture, with different regions developing their own flavors, ingredients, and ways of cooking. Today, we're heading to Sichuan for one of its most famous dishes, Mapo Tofu. So, how do you make it? You start by stir-frying minced meat with garlic, chili, and doubanjiang. So,
right.
Apologies for that pronunciation. A fermented chili bean paste that gives the dish much of its deep savory flavor. Then you add soft tofu and let it gently simmer in the spicy sauce. Finally, you finish it with ground Sichuan peppercorns, which give Mapo Tofu that signature mala. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, mala.
Mala sensation. Spicy, fragrant, and slightly numbing. And there you have it, a warm bowl of Mapo Tofu, usually served with steamed rice. Simple ingredients, but lots of flavor.
All right, so thank you so much for introducing how to make it, right? Like, I actually never made it. But
really?
No, it's kind of complicated because it's tofu. Tofu seems like already pre-made, but you have to do this minced meat thing as a sauce. But the sauce is pretty. The doubanjiang is kind of like something that. I mean, like, it's very flavorful, but if you put too much, it's too salty. So you have to have rich experience to run this thing. And I obviously don't have. But I really want to know that, have you ever tried this, though?
Yeah, I have. I've tried it, and I've actually made it quite a few times, but not in the from scratch sense. I've made it buying, like, packets from the grocery store when I'm in a pinch, because it's so easy. Like, you just cook the tofu, you can add meat if you want, and then you add the sauce. And, like, if you're a struggling university student, it's super quick and easy to make. But, yeah, I've also had people make it for me, not from Sichuan, but I knew someone who's from Japan, and I think they have their own version of that.
Right.
It's, like, a slightly different name, but that was also really good. It's less spicy. I think that's the main difference.
Oh, I see. I want to know, can you think of anything, like, a dish that you find it's really delicious to you from your culture?
From my culture? Okay, well, my background is kind of, like, a mix of a bunch of different European countries, I guess, because, like, my parents are, like, British, French, German, like, etc. I feel like a lot of white people in Canada have, like, this just general mix background, so there's not a lot that's been passed down through my family, but in terms of, like, a delicious dish that I like from my family, my dad has been making a lot of salsas that he's been putting on tacos recently.
Okay. And wait, taco is from Mexico? Or
yeah.
Am I wrong?
It is from Mexico.
Okay.
I mean, we don't really have much to go off of. Like, my mom makes picnic chicken or, like,
Fish and chips.
Making salad, fish and chips, you know,
right,
like, burgers, pasta, like, just that kind of basic stuff.
But uh-huh.
My dad's trying to upgrade his skill set by making a lot of salsas. So
mm-hmm.
I find that kind of inspiring because I also want to be better at cooking.
Okay, yeah, speaking of those multicultural of your background, could you just share a little bit about your story? Maybe you're born here. A lot of people in Vancouver, Canada, they either from other countries or other continent, or they're from other cities in Canada, right? But I think small group of people are locals. So I wonder, what is your story?
Yeah, so in terms of where I'm from, I mean, I am from Vancouver, like East Van, and I've lived in the same house pretty much my whole life, and I'm hoping to move out soon, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is like a really nice location to be in, and I do appreciate Vancouver's nature, and I love swimming. I go on like cold plunges, but you know when you're in a place for a little too long, it just kind of starts to feel like you want to escape it, and it feels kind of suffocating.
I definitely feel so, but like you asked the wrong person, because I feel like I get tired of a place after 1 to 1.5 years.
Okay, that's a quick turnover, right?
Yeah, right. Like, because I'm not living in my hometown. Mm-hmm. So I have the freedom to choose where I wanted to live, and I rent, and I feel like I will keep renting even when I'm able to. Like, I want to buy a place to hang out, like with my friends, parties and events. But when I rent, I feel like after a year and a half, I wanted to change to somewhere new. So I totally understand, but that's what I'm saying. You asked the wrong person.
Yeah, a year and a half is quick, but I mean, like, I feel like in a way maybe you're like searching for something when you're changing the place, and I'm also kind of in the stage of my life where I'm trying to look for something. I just don't know exactly what it is yet. I just know that I need to get out of this like this bubble where I have all my friends and family living here, and I'm like pretty comfortable, and yeah, it'd be nice just to see what I'm capable of if I move somewhere else.
Oh, do you plan to stay in Vancouver, like the city or Great Vancouver area, or you plan to move to somewhere completely different?
I think completely different, because I live in a really good location in Vancouver right now, so if I was to move out, it would just be, you know, in like Coquitlam, which is further away from all of my other friends and like downtown and places I like going out. So I'm like, I might as well just take the step and move either somewhere else in Canada or somewhere else in the world. And that's just a big question in my mind, because I still need to finish graduating, because I'll be finished uni in like this coming spring. And then I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now?
Right. I mean, like, you will get chance. I think the best opportunity or time to move to somewhere else is where you get a job position, or you just like there's something that brings you to the place. Because I had this experience where I went to Bali and I wanted to become a digital nomad.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, digital nomads.
Yeah, and when I went there, I realized digital nomad is more a lifestyle. It's not like job position. So so you'd better already have something to run. Either you're somebody who, let's say, in tech industry or some other industry that you can work online, or you have like some kind of business that you can run remotely. So when I went there, I realized, oh my God, there's so many things to handle. You have to find your accommodation, you have to find location, figure out transportation. Meanwhile, you're moving around, and also you don't have an anchor to help you decide which area you're gonna stay.
Yeah.
So that's why I figure when I wanted to try a new place where, like, I came to Canada, I apply a program. So not necessary for the degree, but it helps me to get like this kind of idea to where to stay around, and they have a department normally to help you. But when you mentioned about East Van, have you ever think about like maybe move to downtown? I know that it's really close to East Van, or they're just basically neighbors or same area, or Richmond, that you can have a lot of mapo tofu.
That's true. If I want to improve my Chinese cooking, I should probably go to Richmond and see what they're cooking up over there.
Yeah, or China.
I feel like China.
Yeah, right.
Honestly, going to China would be amazing.
Much better. Yeah, much better than going to Richmond. Yeah, take that back. But yeah.
Yeah, I think East Van is like my favorite area in Vancouver, so I wouldn't really want to move downtown. I find downtown is kind of scary. Like, I don't appreciate Granville Street that much.
Please elaborate.
No, it's just in terms of going out or like nightlife in Granville or downtown, it's just there's this hunger in the air and people kind of feel like they're there to get drunk, be aggressive, and, you know, like find somebody kind of thing. And like they're not there to have fun. And this is like a sweeping generalization, but that's what I found in my experiences, like clubbing specifically in Granville. And then during the day, it's not as bad. But yeah, I'm not sure if I'd want to live downtown for that reason.
Yeah, like I really wanted to know more about downtown, and I think ever since I moved to the city of Vancouver area, I definitely heard more people introducing different area of downtown. And obviously I think the benefit of Vancouver area is not like compared with, let's say, New York. If you're in Manhattan, which is the New York City, then you have to sort of like be on that whole island to be able to get convenient in all the resources there. But in Vancouver, like, you can live in somewhere a little further, like Vancouver South, South Vancouver, or East Van, and but you're still able to really get into the downtown in a very fast speed, right? Like, so I'm not so sure. I will always think about, like, there's a different area of Vancouver, downtown. I want to know, like, what about the nice areas, you know? Like, I heard, like, let's say Yaletown is nice. So obviously Chinatown area is really scary. I have to say it is like a zombie town. No offense to those homeless people, but like it is like zombie area where everybody sat there, right? But I understand that is not the very ideal area for us to move. But what about other nice areas?
Yeah, other nice areas in Vancouver, I think Kitsilano is really nice. I mean, it is super expensive to move there, but being right near the beaches is very ideal. I don't know if you've ever been to Wreck Beach. Have you heard about it?
There are so many beach.
I know.
But, like, so I cannot remember each single beach's name, but I know the area.
It's this, yeah, it's kind of like, I think it's on the UBC campus, actually, so it's a little further from, like, central Kitsilano, but in my opinion, it's the nicest beach in Vancouver. It's also like a nude beach, so people can just go there, be naked, feel free. Everyone's like doing mushrooms there, but it's a good vibe. You know, like they have Jamaican food, they have like really beautiful blankets. And yeah, I like that a lot.
Interesting. What's the name of the beach again?
Wreck Beach. So it's like W-R-E-C-K.
W-R-E-C-K. I don't think I've been. I heard that, you know, my sort of like, I don't know, like the image in my mind of a new beach is more like, it's not like you see a lot of gorgeous people are being naked there. It's normally like they're kind of grandmas and grandpas, like they're just, it's not like, oh, you see supermodels, they're just kind of visually appealing. So that's how I imagined it.
Yeah.
So I was never attracted to it, but
that's fair. I feel like there are definitely a variety of people there and like age ranges, and I kind of appreciate that it's not just all like super perfect people, I guess.
Okay.
So you can see that,
right?
You know, like, I don't know how much I can say on the radio about it, but
yeah,
like, people's bodies are just really sexualized, and it's nice to see them just like exist in like a natural setting,
yeah,
and not be sexualized or objectified.
Okay, yeah, I probably will check it out at one point, not letting all the audiences know, but probably my audiences from Vancouver or Canada were wanting to check it out.
Yeah, definitely
in the video.
Don't live stream there.
Yeah, I
think
you get beat, whatever.
Yeah,
but that's really far from downtown though.
It is far from downtown.
Yeah,
like I don't know if you've been to the Main Street area, like further up where there's more thrift stores. It's also nice there, like to move. They have lots of bars and clubs and like vintage stores too.
Yeah, because I always wanted to know, and now you're definitely a good window for me to get this information, because I don't have many kind of counterpart to understand that, like, Vancouver downtown, because obviously it's very different than China, where I grew up. And I also wanted to compare with maybe Manhattan, right? But I think it's also a little different because in Manhattan is like if you leave there, work there, you do everything there. But downtown in Vancouver is more like most of the people live outside of downtown.
Yeah.
Unless people would suggest or prefer to live in downtown, even they go there very often or even every day, right?
Yeah, and it's also just super small in downtown. Like I've been to other cities that are comparatively like huge and they have multiple downtown areas and we pretty much only have the one and you can get around it probably in like half an hour on a bus or something. Like you could just walk easily around downtown and like see a lot of it too.
Yeah, I guess like this is the Vancouver lifestyle. I don't think it's a good idea to promote it too much because otherwise more people are gonna come and find
like gonna gatekeep it.
Yeah, exactly. But like I have to say now I really started to appreciate more because I wasn't a big fan of the winter here. But seems like in general, if you have like friends, families here and you live in somewhere like you can live in somewhere near the beach but then you can go to the downtown and get the downtown vibe very quickly. So I think you barely can get this kind of vibe anywhere else. I don't know, maybe Barcelona, I don't even know. Like I'm just like saying it. But you mentioned about you're going to probably graduate soon and that could be the opportunity for you to consider somewhere else to move. I wonder what you study and have you looked at what job opportunity or whatever work opportunity in this field or might not necessarily in what you study but in the field that you wanted to go or study or work with in some part of the earth.
Okay, yeah, so starting off, I am a psychology major, and I think as many psychology majors can relate is that I kind of just didn't know what to do, and I like thinking about human behavior. I'm always so curious about, like, why people act certain ways or think certain ways. Like, I want to understand others, so I kind of just fell into psychology. I wish I did a different major at this point, but I'm like kind of too far into it to not.
I obviously have to ask why.
Why? Even though psychology is, you know, like a study on people's behaviors and actions, it's still very, in a sense, like objective. Like it's very scientific, even though they're not really, they're measuring experiences that are really subjective. So there's not a lot of room for voicing your own opinion, I guess. Like it's like these are the statistics, these are the methods that we're using, and you know, like you don't really get to have it's not standardized to have a voice that is unique or have any kind of political undertones, I guess, because it's science, right? Like you can't have any biases, but people have biases anyways, you know, like even scientists, and they'll write that into their work.
Right, and like, say this is objective.
Like it's objective, but it's like a subconscious, and this is in all sciences too, not just psychology, like a lot of social sciences, like anthropology or something, they're studying a different culture and writing as this like objective voice,
right?
But they're actually have their own like Western ideals
That
they're projecting onto them.
Chinese government would love your speech. But yeah, that is really represent from like the Western voice or their own voice, their own experience. But yeah.
Yeah. So it's mostly like it is interesting learning more about, I guess, some of the flaws in psychology and in science in general. It's not like I don't believe science, but there's a lot that could be worked upon. I do wish that I went into something more where there's room for like open discussions based on opinion, I guess, because I do like having debates.
Like people. What we're doing. Right?
Like what we're doing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like doing philosophy or sociology, but those are also areas where not a lot of money is like gonna be there in the future.
Yeah, but I feel like if you study philosophy, I have never studied philosophy, by the way, so this is very subjective, where maybe when you study this, they still give you something that's like so-called objective or theories, right?
Yeah.
Because based on then whatever, whoever come from the ancient countries, and then they tell you, oh, this is what it is. But like, I personally feel like the best way to study or learn philosophy is it's just experience a lot with a lot of reflection. That way you can understand those. But that's just my opinion, where I just think, yeah, unless it's mathematics, otherwise it's really hard to become like not I don't know. I don't even know. I don't want to comment on this because I don't even know them. However, do you see what kind of other majors or like the field that you wanted to get in, since you kind of know yourself by studying this major, right? I think that's the value of it.
Yeah, totally. It does teach you, even if, like, for me, I don't necessarily love my major like some other people are like, oh, I'm so excited to learn every day. But it has kind of like pushed me in different directions. Like, again, I'm not super sure what I want to do after graduating, mm-hmm. but I am doing like an honors project in the next couple of months in psychology, and it is kind of about that idea of like this objective voice, and you know, like we should probably declare some sort of individuality or uniqueness as researchers when we're like talking about these subjects. So I might go into like clinical psychology, mm-hmm. but I still don't know career-wise, because also I'm working at the radio right now, like I think you probably know, but me and Hallelujah, who was on the show last week for our listeners, are both working at the radio, which is really great experience working in a nonprofit where, you know, I think it's a very different structure than in academia per se, when you can actually have a bit more creative freedom and direction in where you want the, yeah, like the community space to go.
For sure. Shout out to all the people who just created this space at CJSF. Yeah.
I mean, CJSF.
Yeah, exactly. This is how I told to my audiences in China, right? Like, mm-hmm. I told them, like, I just like this space. It's really not that commercialized, which means you're not here to like be rich. But exactly. I think you can still be rich. I probably will be rich starting from here. You never know, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
but this
jumping off point.
Yeah, but not by getting paid mm-hmm. with what you work with. But it's really about the people, right? So, and it can help you to figure out what you're good at, what you're interested. And you mentioned about you study psychology, and you realize that you didn't like this. I actually studied law when I went to school in the very early stage. And I figure out that this is not for me. Mm-hmm. So that this really have some value, and you got the degree. So the degree, or the fact that I graduated, or when I went to and graduated from law school, even it was a very mediocre one, but it helped me a lot to get other opportunities later. So I realized that this is probably one of the best part of figuring out something that you realize you don't like it in the very early stage. Mm-hmm. Not like you did this job for 10 years and you now feel like, what am I doing? Something like that, right? But I want to say, like, you don't necessarily, or nowadays, we don't necessarily have to pick up the jobs or work in the field we studied. So I guess there's a lot of other leverage or platform or resources for you to kind of go ahead with this background. Have you thought of them and maybe other countries that you can probably go there? Maybe you can go to China and, you know, Asia. You know,
yeah.
Just starting by teaching English. A lot of people did that, but they got opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So just like going back to the beginning of what you were saying of, you know, you went to law school and you didn't really enjoy it there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that that's a good way to find out what you like and what you don't like. I totally agree with that, because especially even if you don't like something overall, there's always going to be a few things that you find really interesting about it, I guess. Like
yeah.
The psychology, yeah. In general, I'm not like super passionate about it, but there's still like certain things where I'm like, oh, I want to like pursue this further and learn more about it. So it's easier to like get into a certain niche, But then you're asking me, like, yeah, you don't have to get into a career right away, right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if I want to either. Like, I'm in my 20s and I don't feel like I want to just launch straight into, like, the rest of my career life. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of intimidating to me. So, yeah, I'm thinking of doing some jobs in the summer, like, next summer after I graduate, like, maybe planting trees, because I know that's a big thing in Canada, like, in BC and Alberta. I mean, I know it's hard labor, but it'd kind of be nice to do something difficult on my body after doing, like, so much mental work in university.
You know, you probably can pick up some kind of cohort thing,
yeah,
from Embark Sustainability. And,
true.
Like, cross this alley. Mm-hmm. not even alley, like, I don't know what to say, but they're next door. But yeah, like, I would think, like, when I was in law school, I was like everyone else around me was preparing for the bar test or exams, and I decided to just prepare myself to apply for a school overseas, and I really didn't care what I would study, so I just picked law school, which was super challenging.
Yeah, you're just like, let me choose the most difficult degrees.
Yeah, because that was most straightforward.
Yeah.
Right, but I eventually didn't go, thank God. Otherwise, I don't know if I could graduate. But but I was preparing my school by studying English. So now English has become, like, very important skill that I can leverage to do everything mm-hmm. in my life right now. And I think it will play a very important role for my future career. And the second thing is that I know that I just wanted to explore the world a little bit.
Yeah.
So totally. That's why I did that. But because of this two thing led me to get the first job, which allows me to travel the world. So I feel like this would definitely, you know, like, what kind of, like, even fantasies or your goal will kind of guide you to the opportunity. It might really not necessary, especially nowadays, linked to what you study. So I want to know, do you, because you mentioned about during your 20s, you don't really want to dive into the lifelong career pathway right away, which I definitely think absolutely correct, because that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. But do you know what you want to do, or what do you want to achieve, or what nice to achieve to during your 20s?
Okay, yeah, that's a big question. It does take a lot of self-reflection to even figure that kind of thing out, of like, what do I want, because it's
right.
such a process, I think, especially after, at least for me, like, graduating high school,
mm-hmm.
but just even knowing myself and who I am, because I think in high school it's very much like, okay, I just need to survive the, like, next few days, get
right.
my homework done. Like, you don't have as much time to look at who you are, and even if you know it a little bit, it's not the most accepting place, I guess, to be yourself. So over the past few years, yeah, I have done some amount of reflection, and still, like, a journey of trying to figure out what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like more than just career goals or achievements, I just want to build up, I guess, the amount of, God, it sounds so cheesy, but just, like, love in my life. And, like, I want to focus a lot on the relationships I have with people, and also mainly, like, the relationship, not mainly, but I think I need to work the most on, like, the relationship I have with myself. Like, I don't know if you have done that kind of, like, time and, like, effort to make a relationship with yourself, but I kind of just realized, oh, this might be something I need to actively try and do, rather than be like, okay, well, I'm just living with myself every day, but I'm not really spending that much quality time, I guess, like, with myself.
That's a very mature thought to me, because I was like, when I was younger, I didn't think of this, but I want to know, do you know your MBTI, if that's a thing to you too?
I think it's INFJ.
Oh, it's INFJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a psychology major, those are, like, not necessarily the right type of like, accurate personality test.
I know,
but
I know.
They're still fun. Like, yeah,
yeah.
Last time I took it, it was, like, INFJ.
No wonder you start to, I mean, when I say no wonder, it's totally not, like, because you just said
yeah.
it's not necessarily, like, that scientific or objective, but I do feel like this is definitely better than, I'm a Gemini, so I'm the same
than such other. A Libra.
Yeah, something like that. Because that lack of any evidence for me to analyze it, but I think MBTI at least gave me some kind of direction for me to understand some of my behavior. Like, there's a pattern, right? There's a set, of course, if I'm, understanding myself a little.